Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone. Today, we are super excited to tell you about our first investigation from when we were in St. Augustine.
I am so excited.
I am too.
It feels like it was 7,000 years ago, but it was not.
No, it really wasn't. But we've been going through so much footage for the past couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems unending.
Well, and we wore mics this time around so that we could have better audio. And that meant that we then had to listen to like hours and hours of audio on top of it and listen to it slowly to see if we caught anything that we didn't catch with our ears.
Yes. Yes. So that takes time.
Boy, does it. But I really liked going through it because I was like, I remember that. And then I just also realized that I'm just chronically unserious.
I realized how many tangents we go on when we're on our own, even. Like, we're not even talking to anyone and we're still going off on random tangents and no one's replying either.
Oh, I'm just being goofy. Yeah, I'm just a goofy gal all around. I don't need an audience to be goofy. This is my natural state.
There's one, I forget what video it's in, but I like turned to Ben and I was like, she's unhinged.
Oh, I think it was when Lexi and I were talking about gators and ghosts and we're like laughing very hard. And if you want to hear that, all of our nonsense and goofiness from this investigation is going to be after the credits. So it'll be a longer after the credits section today. We named our trip Gators and Ghosts Banging and Clanging. And so it's how we came up with that, but also just how many times we said the phrase as well, just banging and clanging.
So today we are going to share clips of our investigation. And now they may be at a different level than us typically talking because we can't do any editing to it. Otherwise, it can mess the clips up. So just a heads up, it may sound a little off. It may sound a little low or hopefully not too high, but they're going to be sprinkled throughout the episode today. So our first investigation was the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Which is a fun time, and hence why we did the episode on the lighthouse.
Yes. Before we get into our experiences, we wanted to discuss the different tools that we used while we were in St. Augustine. The first tool that we used were EMF readers, and EMF stands for electromagnetic field. So that's what it's reading. And it's believed that ghosts can also cause a reading on these devices. The tricky part, though, when using one is you need to keep it away from your electronics or anything that has an electricity flow because it can set them off as well.
That's why they exist in the world, is to do testing for electricity and such.
So, yeah, when you're using it, if you're holding your phone very close, you might be getting false positives. Or if you're in a more modern building that has electricity in the walls and you're near a wall, could be that. So just something to keep in mind if you use them.
One of the things that we'll typically do in a space before we start is
for science
is what we call it, is where you walk around with the equipment and go for science. I actually walked around with Lexi and we were like testing all the equipment while the other one was recording. We went for science and then would make the thing go off so that you saw what it looked like when something interacted with it and you saw its natural state. We would start by putting the EMF readers near the walls and seeing if it did anything when there was nothing. And we weren't asking questions or purposely engaging with anything so that when it did go off, it was clear that it was from something, not just the wall being a wall with electricity in it.
Correct. Yeah. Another thing that we used were voice recorders, and pretty much the same as the name, it records voices. And sometimes you can capture a voice that may have not been one of the living people in the room with you. And so we used a voice recorder, and then we also used mics, like Lindsay said. Another new device that we used is called a Poltertune. And we bought this while in St. Augustine at Ghost Augustine. So if you are nearby, I would recommend checking it out. But it's a music box that goes off when it detects movement. So it's nice because not only can you see it from far away because lights go off, especially when it's dark, but it's also fairly loud. So it's a good tool that you can leave in another room or like on the other side of the room from you because you'll know when it goes off.
It also is creepy as hell.
Yes.
It plays this song. Isn't that creepy?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it, though. But it was so much fun to have it. I've used a different kind of music box before when I was at the Whaley House, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm really happy that I have one now.
Yeah. Another tool that we use is also a new gadget that we have, which is a Poulterscript. And it's generally a newer tool, but it works very similar to an ovilus. And Amanda's talked about those before, but it converts environmental energy and changes it into words, letters, or numbers. You can see it. It pops up as words on the device, and it also says it. It'll show you the last three words. When we play clips of audio from the Poulterscript, we'll typically cut in afterwards in like the audio recordings we're going to play and say the word very clearly so that you can understand it. In the moment, our goal wasn't to record content. Our goal was to have an experience, and then hopefully we could, you know, have an episode later on about it. With that in mind, we want to make sure that you can actually understand with what it's saying. And if we're jumping in with the word, we also have a recording typically that shows what it said. So we're 100% sure what it said. The Poulterscript works in English. So when I was buying it from Ghost Augustine, the guy was like, hey, if you notice that it says a few words that are rhyming, you might want to change it from library mode, which is a library of words, to spelling so that it can spell things out. So if it's in a different language. And then we also use the Necrophonic app, which is an app that works on a smart device, if you will. So it could be a tablet, it could be your phone. It doesn't ask permissions, so it shouldn't be able to hear or see what you're doing. Typically, the device itself is going to be turned on to airplane mode, so it can't interact with things. So what it does is it works with 8 sound banks to kind of cobble together sounds and words.
Like a spirit box.
Yeah, just like a spirit box. So the audio is made up of phonemes, partial words, reverse audio, foreign languages, and other parts of speech to help with communication. So it allows spirits to communicate using words and sounds. And it sounds a little creepy when you're using it, but it is a great tool.
It is. And I was super skeptical the first time that we used it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because there's so many fake phone apps out there that are just nonsense. And I don't know, in my head, it shouldn't, but an app just sounds silly to me. But after we used it in Villisca, and then also this time, the responses that we have gotten that are very accurate and there's no way of explaining it, I'm a believer now.
Although Amanda and I do believe in this stuff, we don't believe in everything. We do approach things skeptically because we're doing an investigation. We're not there to like prove our theory. We're there to have an experience.
And we understand there won't always be an experience too in some haunted places.
Yeah.
You're not always going to get the spirits to do what you want, which they don't have to.
Yeah. When you have people who are kind of more in tune with that kind of stuff and who know how to use the tools, aka Amanda, she knows how to use all tools. I think it's a little bit more likely that you'll be able to, because if you're sensitive to it and you have a means of communication, okay. When I went to Pennhurst, they have like a lot of people in our group, and there was this one woman named Tiffany who was with Ben and I for most of the night, and she described interactions with ghosty things and such on devices in a very interesting way. And she said, yeah, I was getting a lot of intelligent responses. And I was like, oh, yeah, like we're having a conversation. They're answering a question. What they're saying is in response to what you're asking. It's not like you're like, hey, what color shirt am I wearing? And it's like 4, unless you had a shirt that was 4 different colors, very clearly 4 different colors.
Or a number 4 on your shirt.
Or it's like, what color shirt am I wearing? And it's like, New Mexico. That's not an intelligent response. But when you are getting more intelligent responses than not, it's a bit interesting. Or if they're all along a common theme and more than one person is picking up on that common theme. Mm-hmm. But that being said, not every time we used every tool did we get an intelligent response.
Right.
Not surprising. The other tool that we used was a Necrometer. This is another app. It's made by the same creator as Necrophonic. And this one does a few things. It detects EMF changes and the fluctuations of energy fields, and it connects those with words. So again, similar to an ovilus. It has over 60,000 words.
And when you say that it detects EMF changes, again, I was very skeptical because I was like, why would a cell phone be an EMF reader? That makes no sense in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked it up, I guess a lot of cell phones do have the ability to be turned into an EMF reader. And I did not know that. So I was like, oh.
I didn't either.
I discounted that a lot, but there are a lot of sources online that say that it could be. So I'm like, okay, great. And then I tested it the first time I used it along with my EMF reader, not in the same hand because it would, you know, ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
But it got very similar readings. Like when it would go off, my EMF reader was going off. So I'm like, okay, maybe this does work. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a little like meter at the top where you can see the changes.
Yeah.
Anyways, fun to use.
Yeah. So we had a few different tools that we used for actual word conversations.
Yes.
And I don't think they were nearly as active in this investigation as the other ones in St. Augustine. I do think we got a lot of intelligent responses.
I think so, too. So we also got a variety of cameras. So we had, obviously, phone cameras, right? In one of our investigations that we'll talk about at a later date, we had video surveillance cameras as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, like, the day before the trip, I went crazy and bought a thermal cam because I was like, this would be fun.
We had an abundance of tools. We'll post a picture of all the tools that we had with us.
There wasn't even enough time to use every single one, but we were like, we're bringing it.
Nah. Yeah, just in case.
I also brought a video camera and I charged it the night before and I didn't bring it out for the lighthouse just because we'll talk about it. It's very quick. But for the next one, the next day, I brought it out and the battery was completely drained, but it was 100% when I left and it did not turn on. So just interesting to consider.
Mm-hmm.
We also brought cat balls. When they're moved, they flash colors. So you can see them in the dark, which is great. I also have one for my cat and he likes it. He plays with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I love that they're easy to see in the dark. So it's easy to leave them around a dark room and then you can see when they go off. However, they're very sensitive. So if you do bump one, it will go off. Or if it's like a floor that moves when you're walking close to it, it'll sometimes go off. So we normally put them down and then we do the for science and we walk by it a couple times to see if we influence it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also brought a laser grid. It's literally a green laser grid that you can see on a wall, and it looks like a flashlight. So you like turn on this flashlight, it puts a grid on a wall, and it allows you to see disturbances in the grid pattern fairly easily. So like if someone walks by, you know someone walked by. But also if no one walks by and you see something walk by, you're like, okay, I really did see something. Also, if you play the game Phasmophobia, you know that one very well.
It's also just lovely. I love the vibe of it. We have photos from when we went to the Elms Hotel of that. And then we have videos or photos of us using the laser grid at all three places.
Yes. Yes. And then we also brought a REM pod. And it's the best way I can describe it is like a fancy EMF reader. It also has an antenna that helps detect any changes within a 360 degree radius. So instead of having to have it in one little area, you kind of get to see the area around it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This particular one that I brought has different sensitivity levels as well, and it has an option to detect significant drops in temperature too. So I had it on a sensitive setting, and I turned on the temperature detection as well. And when this one's activated, it lights up and it makes a pretty loud sound. And like the closer you get to the antenna, the more intense it gets. So you really know if something's near it. And it did go off at the lighthouse. So we'll talk about that too. So because we'll be talking about the lighthouse today, we want to do a quick refresher about what we talked about in February for anyone that didn't listen to it. So you still understand what's going on today. This wasn't the original lighthouse that we visited because the original lighthouse fell into the ocean in 1880. And then during the build for the new one, there was a tragic accident involving three young girls losing their lives. We're going to talk about them a lot later.
Mm-hmm.
There were also several other deaths that were confirmed on the lighthouse grounds, and it's said to be a very active area for spirits connected to it. So people have seen them during the day, at night, all over, outside, inside, just all over the grounds.
Yes. If you haven't listened to our St. Augustine episode yet, we talk a lot about coquina, probably more than you ever wanted to talk about coquina, but it does have limestone in it. And there is a quarry for this right by the lighthouse. So perhaps that has something to do with one of the reasons why it's so active. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to do coquina talk today. So let's talk a little bit about the tour we went on called the Dark of the Moon Ghost Experience, which included a tour of the area, a few of the stories about what happened. And then we had some time to do our own stuff. So we did our own investigation. There was definitely more people than we expected on the tour. But after the tour was over, again, we were able to do our own thing. So Amanda, what were your first general impressions when we got there? We'll go into more of our impressions on each location when we talk about each location too.
Well, I thought it was beautiful, especially like walking into the lighthouse itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed. I thought it was so gorgeous. While walking with the tour, though, there's a lot of people, like you said, so I didn't feel much activity at first until we arrived in this building that was near the lighthouse that held some old items. That's when I started feeling a little bit. And this building might have been like a museum exhibit because it had some old items and posters, perhaps where they take like children on field trips. I don't know. But our whole group was in there and she was telling us a couple stories. And I just felt like someone was behind the group watching. And I kept looking up like, oh, is there an employee about to walk in or something? I don't know why I keep looking over here. But I had a hard time concentrating on what she was saying because I kept feeling like someone was walking through that door in the back. The other place that I felt something was once we got to the top of the lighthouse, I felt like there was an energy shift up there. But again, like nothing bad. I didn't feel like it was like too much or anything. It just felt different, especially when you walk from the inside to the outside through that door. But I didn't see anything. I didn't like expect to see someone. It just felt different up there. And I'm not afraid of heights or anything. So like, I don't think it was that.
Just rub it in, Amanda. Just rub it in.
No, it's just some people would be like,
rub your top of the lighthouse, not afraid of heights. We'll talk about that. We'll get there when we get there. But just rub it in.
Well, no, I could see someone being like, well, you're very high up and that's unsettling. But like,
yeah,
I don't feel unsettled by that.
No, I understand. I was just being a shit. That's all.
Whatever, Lindsay. So I would say that the most active area to me was the lighthouse keeper's house and the park across the way. And we're going to get into specifics about both of those in a bit.
Yes. So we knew there were going to be other people on the tour, but I was surprised at how many people there were and how many of them were teenagers, which, you know, teenagers are teenagers. So as we were doing our initial like walk about the grounds, it's dark. It's very dark. Beautiful, but dark. It was hard for me to get a good read on whether I was feeling like someone else was around or something else was around.
Yeah.
Because it is all very dark. There are people who are on this tour. There was also another tour that was happening that was before ours. So people were around. My brain was just like, there's so many people. I don't know if I can do my sensey stuff with this many people present, because I also feel like my soul of souls was like, you're feeling very perceived right now. Therefore, it is hard for you to perceive the things. So before we get too much into our investigations and all that, we're going to share some clips that we got from the other people who we did our investigations with. And that's our small group, not like the whole big group of people who were on this particular tour. This is our small group of people. We'll also list social media handles in our show notes. But the first was Lexi. We originally met her when we went to Villisca. We did meet her physically at the Villisca house, although we had chatted with her before then. She actually also just released her first book last month, and it's called Colonial Park Cemetery. And she's got more on the way, and we're so excited and we're so proud of her. We've posted it at least once on our social media. We'll probably post it more. And we're probably going to do a little something with her on that at a later date. So
yes, yes.
Maybe keep your ears ready for that. But here's a clip of Lexi's impressions of the lighthouse.
Hey, guys. So, okay, first up on the list is the lighthouse. I don't really know that I got to really form any first impressions because we were kind of like surprised by like the number of people that were going to be there too, because we kind of thought it was going to be off season, and then also like the time restrictions. So really I was kind of thinking more about that I don't think I really got to make any like quote unquote first impression feelings about the place. I don't really think that anywhere in the tower itself stood out either. It was very cool to climb to the top and see it and everything, but I didn't get any kind of like vibes off of it or anything.
And then last but not least is my husband, Ben. I wrote his introduction, so he doesn't know what's in here. Will he ever know? Who could say? But so he's the ultimate cat dad, and he's a rugby coach for the Baltimore Flamingos Feral side, which he's very proud of. And I'm very proud of him. And I put a long time not listener, not first time caller, because you've heard his voice on here before. But here is Ben's impressions.
when we got there. I was a little bit creeped out about it. It was really dark and not super well lit. I felt a little bit more comfortable seeing people in the gift shop and as people were coming there on the tour. But I got kind of an uneasy feeling, but that might have just been because I'm generally a little bit scared of the dark, especially if I'm in a strange place. I wasn't really getting a feeling of anger or anything negative. When we were at the lighthouse, I would say if I had to say any sort of feeling that I did have was maybe sadness.
So once we were done with the structured side of the tour, we were able to walk up the lighthouse.
To let loose.
Let loose, yes.
Start banging and clanging on our own way.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, none of our shoelaces got tied to any of the staircases or anything, so I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. But as we were climbing, each landing had some facts about the lighthouse. And then some of these landings had shadows painted on the wall.
Disrespectful.
And it very much caught us off guard while walking up because we know the stories about people that have seen all of the shadow figures that like look down the stairs or like lurk around the stairs. So the first landing that we got up to and saw the shadow thing, I don't remember if it was Lexi or Inika that was in front of me, but one of them like kind of jumped back and then they were like, oh, that's a painting. So it was perfect. I'm glad that I wasn't the first one because I would have definitely did the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The top was super pretty. We'll share a quick video. I did like a panned video of what it looks like from being at the top,
which I very much appreciated because I very bravely and very graciously volunteered to stay at the bottom of the lighthouse and look up to see if any shadow men were leaning over the railing. It definitely didn't have anything to do with the fact that I am incredibly afraid of heights and the fact that I've been in lighthouses before, walked all the way up lighthouses before, and yet I got up like the first landing and my legs felt like noodles and I was like dizzy and my entire body was like, you cannot do this. You will not do this. So I got to the first landing and I was like, Amanda, I cannot do this. So when Amanda says we, she's not including me in that because I only got to the first landing before skittering back downstairs and hanging out in the dark lighthouse. But I did keep a vigilant watch up to see if I saw any like weird shadowy things. And I was also honestly just being a little bit nosy and people watchy for people who were walking down to see if they said like they heard or saw or felt anything.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anybody saying anything fun.
And it's so dark in there.
Oh, it's so dark. Everywhere was so dark, which I appreciated. It made it spookier, but it was surprising.
It was a little unsettling going back down. Without being able to see the stairs below you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said not to turn on like flash or anything because then there's like little holes in all the stairs. So like if there's a flashlight or something, it could blind someone or look crazy. So we were trying not to, but it was unsettling.
So we will share tons and tons of photos from our trip, but I just need to explain to you what these stairs look like. So spiral staircase, shocking. You're in a lighthouse. Of course, they're spiraled.
219 steps of spiral.
219. And there's no back to the steps. And not only is there no back, but as Amanda mentioned, there's little holes in the steps. So they don't even look solid. Lace steps with no backing, just all the way fucking up.
Lace steps.
My soul was like, I will not be doing this. But so, yeah. Beautiful, though, outside and from what I could see on the inside. I stand by my decision.
Perfect.
So let's talk about the keeper's house. I did go everywhere in there, though, that they would let us to specify. Just as a little bit of a recap, the keeper's house was built in 1876 and was in use for the keepers and their assistants until 1955. The head keeper lived in the north side of the building and the first assistant on the south side. And then there was these two small rooms that were left over between the two sides that was located on the top floor between each of them. And that's where the second assistant lived. For both the north and the south side, the bedrooms were located on the upstairs and each one had a dining room and a parlor on like the ground floor. We did some stuff in there. In 1888, brick kitchens were added along with a new roof. The house became a rental for a little bit after the 1950s. And then in 1970, the house had been empty for a time before it mysteriously caught fire, as all haunted places do. And at that point, only the basement and kind of like the charred timbers were left. The Junior Service League of St. Augustine, an all-volunteer group, raised over $1 million and were able to renovate it, but it took like 15 years to restore. So it ultimately became part of the Lighthouse Museum, but it wasn't originally. So it went back and forth between being associated with the lighthouse, because it is very close.
Yes. We'll share pictures, but it's really pretty.
So let's talk about our impressions upon entering the Keeper's House. So Amanda, when you first made your descent into the basement, what were your thoughts?
It was very dark. Like, you can't see in front of you dark. And so when I first got down there, I was like, I thought we were alone down there because I couldn't see anything. So I actually pulled out my thermal cam because I was like, this is how I can see if people are down here with us or if there's ghosties. So there's actually a video, I think Lexi took it, where she's like behind me. We walk down the stairs and then I turn on the thermal and I was like, oh, I think this is the area where they see the man. And then on the thermal, there's like this tall guy standing in the opening to the next room. And you just hear Lexi go, oh, and she immediately stops recording. So I was like, if that was a ghost, this one turned out to be an actual man that was in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a ghost, Lexi would have been like, never mind.
I'm done recording. I don't want this much proof, which honestly, that kind of feels fair. If something's that corporeal, I feel like I would also kind of nope. If you will.
Oh, yeah. No hate to Lexi. I probably would have just been like,
no, no.
I would have put my phone down and been like, I need a little bit further distance.
Yeah, yeah. Also, so dark. So, so dark.
I could not see anything at all.
So I also was surprised at how dark it was. I have a video of us going down the stairs into the space so you can see how dark it is. And we'll have that on social media. We're not going to play that video because it's just a video of us walking downstairs. So like, this is an audio thing. What do you need that for? But we'll have it on social media so you can visualize how dark it was when we were going down into this. So when we got down into the area, so there was two sections of space. And there's the farthest space where we were kind of set up in the back room in the corner. And then after that, we set up in the front room. But when we were in that back room, the REM pod was set up and it was going off in a way that almost sounded like Morse code. I looked at the footage and nothing picked up the sound as full as when we were there. Even our mics didn't pick it up.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because it was like so clear and I've never seen a REM pod go off like that. It sounded like an old timey Morse code thing from a fucking movie.
I've never had that happen with that REM pod anywhere else. Nothing has made that sound before, which is really, really weird.
Yeah. Not to just talk over and over about how dark it was, but given the nature of what this tour was, that there were so many people on it, I was surprised it was that dark because there's a lot of strangers around. It just felt jarring.
We created an audience at one point down there.
Oh, yeah. Keep in mind, we had a tote bag, like a big ass tote bag, and like my backpack filled with stuff. So like we got down and we're sitting on the floor and we're just unpacking, right? We've got Big Mama with us. She's there. We're moving in.
We're moving in.
And some woman was like, you guys are equipped. I'm staying with you guys. I probably would do the same thing if I was just like witnessing things. And she did kind of stick with us while we were there and just kind of observe. We didn't even get her name. We were just like, okay, we've got a short amount of time. Let's get down to business. So we just like spread out on the floor.
We took over that back room.
We really did. We really did. So we're going to talk about the experiences that we had down in the Keeper's House basement. But before that, we're going to play Lexi's impression.
Going into the Keeper's House definitely felt different. Not in a bad way. But not in a good way either. It just felt like spooky and that, you know, there was energy in there, something going on. I know we tried in the basement first and we kind of got a little like hit or miss stuff. It wasn't really anything too like, oh my God, this is happening kind of thing. I didn't really get any too many impressions down there either. Again, because I think like the time constraints worrying about that. And then we had also kind of like drawn some people that were like watching, so it's just kind of like, oh yeah, these people are watching and like let's explain what we're doing and that kind of thing, but like not thinking too much about how things were going on vibe wise or anything like that.
And here's Ben's.
For the Keeper's basement, when we went inside and downstairs, I was pretty creeped out. Actually, it was very dark. It felt like there was more there than just the people that were there on the tour looking around and hunting around with their tools. I would say that in the basement, Again, I didn't really get a negative feeling, but I did get a feeling that there were things or something down there observing everything going on and watching. But to me, it just very much seemed like whatever was down there watching did not want to be found. It seemed more like they were keeping to the shadows, so to speak, or to the peripheral, and just watching and trying to, I guess, kind of lurk.
And so this next part that we're going to play, remember, I told you when we have our Poulter script, we're going to cut in and tell you what the word says. But this was one of the first times that I was really hearing it go off, this particular tool. So it is kind of eerie in how monotone it is.
You and Lexi were kind of on one side of the room, and then I was with Ben, I want to say, on the other. And then Inika was, I think, between all of us, like she was kind of going back and forth. And I had set up where the kids' table was, and I put the REM pod there, and I put the Poulter tune under the staircase. And we'll play this too, but the Poulter tune did go off after I asked for them to touch the red light, which I thought was really cool.
And it was so close, so close. Just as a note, generally, when we're going to play audio on here, if there's a long space, we'll typically take the long space out. But we won't take out if we ask questions and there's no response, because we don't want it to not be what it was. But we will, for time's sake, not make you wait 5 minutes for a response.
Right, right.
So for this particular one, we're going to play in just a moment. It there's no like taking out the filler time.
Also, you'll hear another voice in our recordings, and that is Ursula. She'll introduce herself. And that is just to help you guys hear exactly what the Poulter script was saying, because we thought we repeated every time, not always. So if you hear the voice, you know who it is.
Salutations, hot cheeks. I'm Ursula. I'll be cutting in to let you know what the Poulter script said. Don't worry, babe. I'm not a ghost voice.
Keep stopping and going.
You like the music?
You touch the red light, it'll play a song. Was it moving a second ago? It sure is. You can play with it. Which way is it pointing? Towards the brick wall. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really
Yeah, you have. It's within 3 feet of the front. Because you can walk around with it, too.
You know, I was like, let me make sure.
Yeah. No, I played with it a little bit when I turned it on, when I put the batteries in.
Like to play a game with us?
Who are you beside?
Right.
Right, to your right.
To the right?
Me.
My name's...
Section.
What? Right section?
I felt like whatever you were talking to with the Poulter script was different than what was interacting with the music box and the REM pod on the kids' table. I feel like that side of the room was really light.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, when I walked over there, I think I was helping Ben maybe put up the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this side doesn't feel as nice as the other. And it's not even like the biggest room ever.
No.
But it was definitely a different tone on either side.
But you can tell the moment Lexi and I were like, it feels a lot like this is referencing Velisca.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
There's multiple.
Alice.
That's pretty cool.
How many are with us?
Quad.
Four of you?
There's four.
It's a quad.
Do you want to play hide and seek?
There's eight.
Bang.
Bang?
Mm-hmm.
It said seek before that.
Kim?
Who's Kim?
Venus.
Lesser.
Lesser.
Help.
Help.
Need help with?
Etch.
Is it bench?
Etch. Labor.
Labor.
You're trying to build something?
Spirit. Farm. Do you see how it keeps like stopping?
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't doing that earlier.
No, it wasn't doing that.
Preacher.
Creature.
Okay.
House.
Did you work here on the property?
Kate.
Hi.
Hello.
Evil.
Salvation.
Yeah.
Ghost box.
Yeah, that is a ghost box.
Yes, I'm with you. Evil preacher house.
82 years.
Ghost box.
Yeah.
You were a man, right? How many years did it say?
82.
All right, 82.
A sin.
That's significant. Has it been 82 years?
Tablet.
Tablet.
Do you want to draw?
Multiple. Paralysis.
When things start referencing Velisca, it makes me feel like we're being played with, and I don't like that. I don't like when it feels like whatever we're talking to is toying with us, and that's what it felt like in that moment. The energy that I experienced in the basement had a weight to it. It wasn't joyous.
I think so, at times.
For me, it was just in the basement. The impression I think I got was like, it was bored, and it was like, I bet I could mess with you. Not malicious, just like bored and looking to be entertained. It got a rise, you know?
Mm-hmm. So the next thing we want to talk about is a little bit of a refresher, but I promise there's a reason for it. We're going to play a clip from our St. Augustine episode that came out a little bit ago about the Pity Sisters tragedy. And you'll know why in a few minutes. So here's the clip. So when it first became known that the first lighthouse was going to eventually fall, we mentioned that they started working on a new one. And so the construction started in 1871, and the superintendent of lighthouse construction, Hezekiah Pity, moved him and his family to St. Augustine to oversee the construction. And they were all from Elizabeth, Maine. So it was like a decent move. Pity's family included his wife, Mary, and their children, Mary Adeline, who was 15, Eliza Edward, who was 13, and Carrie, who was just 4. Now, children being children, they decided that the construction site was a super cool playground.
Ugh.
They would also play with other construction workers' kids. So there's just kids running around all over this place. By 1873, the foundation and about 42 feet of the tower was done. And how construction workers were moving the supplies was via railway cart. So what it would do is it would move the supplies from the supply ships, and they were docked at Salt Run, and then the little cart would carry it to the construction site. So back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, to a kid, that was essentially a cool roller coaster, right? Like, it's a moving cart.
I could see how that could be.
Yeah. So the kids loved it. And what they would do is they would ride the cart down to the water. And at the end, there was this wooden board, is the best I can describe it. And it would stop the cart at the end. So they'd like hit this piece of wood, stop, get out, and do it again.
Okay, yeah, fair. It sounds like how you would imagine it to work.
Yes. Now, on July 10th of 1873, the girls were playing with an unnamed girl whose father likely was also working construction on the lighthouse. And this breaks my heart, and judging by the history of the place, too, I think this is why. The only details that we can find on the unknown girl are that she was just 10 years old and she was Black. That's it. No names, no nothing. You don't know who her father is. Nothing.
I hate it.
Just that they guessed that he might have been working. And so that like broke my heart that we don't know more about her. And then some other stories say that there might have been 5 kids total, but I haven't seen any other names that might have been doing it. So not sure. I believe it was just the 4 of them, though. So the 3 Pity girls and then the unnamed girl. The kids were riding the roller coaster doing their thing. However, this time it was different. The wooden board at the bottom was not there.
Oh, no.
So when they went down, they went straight into the water, but the cart flipped onto them in the water, trapping them underneath. And so Dan Sessions, who was one of the workers nearby, saw it happen and he ran to the water. He jumped in fairly quickly, from what I understand, and he did everything he could to try to save the kids.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, by the time he was able to lift the heavy cart up, 3 of the girls had already drowned. So the only survivor was little Carrie, the 4-year-old.
Ugh.
Those poor kids.
Yeah.
So the town and the construction site all shut down for the funeral of the kids. Like, everything just halted. The Pity family ended up heading back to Maine, and they buried their girls there. And unfortunately, it's unknown where the other little girl was buried. Some sources also said that her body was never recovered, but I only saw that in 1 or 2, so I'm not sure. Other sources didn't even mention her.
I hate that.
which is heartbreaking. They just mentioned the pity girls. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that there was an unnamed girl there. So a psychic who visited the area once contacted the staff and they said, hey, I might know the little girl's name, and said it might have been Ellie or Eleanor.
Hmm.
Cute, sweet name.
Yeah.
The St. Augustine Lighthouse website said that they have been continuing archival research to hopefully find the answer one day.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that like they're at least looking for it to see, like, can we find record of her and talk about her too?
Yes.
Okay. The reason we want you to remember the Pity Sisters and their friend is because we believe that we may have interacted with them quite a bit during these next investigations.
Yeah.
First off, we enter what is the parlor room. And we actually have a clip of us entering the parlor room because we may have had an interaction there.
Yeah. And so in this clip, it's me, Amanda, and Ben. So I'm just saying words right now. You know my voice. But Amanda, you say some words.
I feel like they would know my voice too.
Hopefully, right?
Hopefully, maybe.
And then here's some random clip of Ben talking.
Pickle. TT. Theo. Theodore. TT Marie. Tiny Tina. Picky Pick Pick. Pickle.
Okay. Here's the three voices that we were aware we were recording. Now tell us if you hear another voice and what you hear them say. We're going to play it twice.
Oh, sorry. Bless, thank you.
Home with the Hans.
Hi. You doing fine? Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is the parlor, guys. Gorgeous. Oh, sorry.
Bless, thank you.
Home with the Hans. Hi. You doing fine?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is the parlor, guys. Gorgeous.
Hi.
As a note, the three of us were together with the entire group. So it wasn't as though we were like rejoining each other.
Yeah.
So one more time, we're going to play it.
Hi.
Tell us what you've heard, though, because we are intrigued.
So Lindsay found that clip.
Mm-hmm.
When she was going through some of the audio and sent it to me. And I was like, who is saying hi in this? Because it's so high pitched that it doesn't sound like either of us.
Now, I do say, are you having fun? To Ben in like a higher tone. But I wasn't greeting him because we were there. It was the first time that I'd had like a moment to like ask him when there was like relative calm around. Even when I speak in a higher tone, I don't think I sound like a child.
Yeah.
And to me, this sounded like a child.
Yes. Yes. It was interesting. And we had all just walked into the parlor room. I don't remember if this clip has me saying parlor room like 60 times for whatever reason, but there is one of those. It might be in here somewhere. But we walk in. It's extremely dark again. And then we are on a time frame. So we just set up super quick. We have no knowledge that something may have talked to us.
When I was listening to the audio, the hair on my arms stood up when I heard the hi. My body had a visceral response to it. I need you to also keep in mind that we listened to hours and hours and hours and hours of audio. So we were listening to a lot of us talk. It's hard for me to get behind the idea that some random clip where I sounded different would have had this visceral response in my body when I'd been listening to myself talk. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about our impressions when we entered the parlor room. Again, for me, it was just insanely dark and I had never been in there before. So I'm like, I don't know where anything is. So we were looking around with flashlights at first.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that there was a big energy shift from when we were outside walking in, but it wasn't a bad energy by all means.
Mm-mm.
When I say it was dark, we couldn't see each other. The only things that we could see were like the lights from our devices that we were holding. At one point, there was a man in one of the other rooms. And the only way we knew he was there is because he was also holding, I think, an EMF reader or something.
I also just do need to point out that this man was like in his 50s or 60s and he was by himself and he was so hyped. Like he was like so excited to be there, which one, I just genuinely love people enjoying things. But also just there's like this older dude and he's like, I'm hanging out with ghosts.
That's going to be us.
Was so excited about it. Yeah, that's us. It's us now. For me, the space generally had a brighter vibe. And when we went in, my head felt kind of buzzy. Like I was like, okay, there's something here, but good vibes only. And knowing how it felt in that room it's not altogether surprising to think that whatever we were encountering may have been excited that we were there.
Yes, yes. And then here's Lexi's impression of the parlor room.
When we went upstairs to the parlor, it was, again, just kind of like it felt like there was something in there, maybe watching us, but it didn't feel bad or negative or anything. And then once we got started on the hide and seek, like the shift in the air was very, I think the people that were even on the property kind of described the hauntings there as being a little bit more whimsical and a little bit more fun, because it generally is the girls trying to play hide and seek, which is what we ended up being able to do, which was a lot of fun.
Here's Ben's impression of the parlor room.
Upstairs in the keeper's parlor, that was a good bit of fun, and I did feel some energy up there. I did feel like there were things beyond just the people up there. But unlike in the basement, I felt like whatever was up there had a more playful, inquisitive energy that really wanted to interact with the folks that were there around them. Maybe it was the children. I'm pretty sure it was the children. That was the kind of feeling that it was lighter, a little mischievous in like a fun way. Like they wanted to play. Whatever it was, wanted to play and just wanted attention. And I think it seemed like they enjoyed feeling like they were included in a part of something.
14.
So once we got all set up there, pretty quickly, it seemed like someone wanted to play hide and seek. So let us describe this parlor room to you. Think of like a rectangular room, and it had a couple windows along one wall. And in the corner, there's a little basic chair, and then the window is almost touching it, but not quite, like a little bit of the curtain is. And so what I did, because none of us were sitting on any of the furniture or anything, is I put the poltertoon facing the corner where the chair was and or a little bit of the curtain. So if someone were to sit on that chair, perhaps it would have gone off. If someone would have went near that window, it may have gone off. But none of us in our group were near that at all.
I was sitting in like the back left corner. Ineko was standing to the far left side of the room. Lexi was next to me. And then Amanda and Ben were kind of moving about, but they weren't moving in front of it, obviously.
No. So pretty quickly, we're going to play this clip. It seems like someone wants to play hide and seek with us. We catch on pretty quick.
So the way you play hide and seek with a ghost is you have an EMF reader. And first, you know, we do our for science thing, see if anything just randomly goes off. But then you're walking around, and eventually when you find whomever is hiding, it will go off, and then you'll restart your game.
Yeah. And how this was happening is Ineka was doing the Estes method. I think we talked about it in our Velisca episode, but she puts on headphones where she can't really hear us, or it's very, very drowned out, because when she has the Necrophonic app on, that's pretty loud. It's very hard to hear anything outside of the Necrophonic app.
Yes.
And so she puts it on, and so when you hear her voice, that's her telling us what the Necrophonic app says. She doesn't know what we're doing or saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this was what Lindsay called an intelligent response.
Yeah, yeah. You'll also note the inflection that Ineka uses. Typically, when you're doing this, you're not only repeating the word, but you're repeating how it's said. Because it's not just like you're hearing a monotone word like you do with the Poulter script. It's got inflection. Like, you can often hear the emotion behind the words, which is makes it even more intelligent seeming, because it does seem like a personality.
Mm-hmm. And when you're the person with the headphones on, you're in your own world there.
Yeah.
So it's a little unsettling because you don't know who you're speaking for.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how these words are impacting your group, because you don't know what they're asking or what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It's just random words to you. But from the outsider perspective, you're like, this is a whole conversation happening.
Yeah. And because it was so dark, it's not as though she could like read our lips or anything. The clip that we're going to play, it's about 3 minutes, but it basically is the start to the end of the game while we're in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in here with us? Is there anything you'd like to tell us?
Don't forget the children.
Okay. The kids are here. We're happy to.
Do you want to play?
You want to play hide and seek with us? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, come back.
Yeah.
Want to play hide and seek?
Yeah. Okay.
So grab the EMF
grab reader. The EMF reader. So he's going to grab that green device, and he's going to count to 10.
Okay.
and then we'll play.
Hold on first. How many of you are playing?
Oh, yeah. How many does he need to find?
Mommy?
You and your mommy?
Hi.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Go.
So you're going to go?
Okay. We'll come find you.
All right, we'll come find you.
Stay downstairs.
Yeah.
Stay on this floor, please.
Yeah, stay on this floor. So you want to count?
Hurry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready or not, here I come.
Done.
Mom!
Well, there are two moms here.
They might want one of you to play.
Okay. Do you want me to play?
What, Lexi or Amanda? I'm Amanda, that's Lexi.
Play!
All right, let's play.
Both of you,
let's
I guess.
Do it.
Play. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's fun.
Five right here. Maybe you're still in here. Are you having fun? All right,
I'm gonna count to
10. Yep.
And
no.
I'm gonna try to come find you, okay?
You gotta go find
first, all right? All right, and if we find you, you have.
Go ahead and.
You gotta go find 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight.
This is yours.
Gotta hide, honey.
All right.
9, 10.
Ready or not, here we
come. Where could they be? Up over here.
Are you playing with Mary behind me?
Did we find you?
Were you in the chair?
Or in the curtain.
Oh, are you behind the curtain?
That's a good hiding spot.
She just said curtain, didn't she?
And that was me.
No, but
I think you say curtain?
I think Eni just said, did we find you? Were you behind the curtain?
Goodness.
You're a good hider. Yeah.
You want to play again?
Hide.
Okay. Are we hiding?
Do you want to hide or do you want to seek?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to do both?
Okay. Do you want to hide?
I want to find him.
Oh,
Ben,
you hide.
You're hiding.
You want to find me?
Yes.
Okay.
You're the only him we've got.
We have a couple more minutes or no?
No.
Sorry, guys.
Okay,
I'm so sorry, sweethearts.
Girls.
Hopefully, right. We may try to come back tomorrow. So thank you for playing with us.
So our game got cut short because we ran out of time and they were not about us continuing.
Mm-mm.
Which was fine. We'll tell you why in a second.
So while we were in St. Augustine, we mentioned that we went to Ghost Augustine. And should you go to St. Augustine, we cannot recommend enough that you go and visit them. It's a small store, but they've got lots of cool stuff. They've got equipment. They've also got some touristy stuff, if that's what you're looking for. So while we were there, we spoke to Troy, and he's the VP of tours, but he's also the store sales manager and incredibly experienced with paranormal investigations. We talked to him for a very long time. He was a treasure and a delight.
I think it was 2 hours and we would have kept going.
Yes. You ever just meet somebody and you just vibe with them? And it was like, we just clicked. Cannot say enough wonderful things about him. We asked him if there were any public places that he would suggest that we go or we don't go. And we mentioned that we were going to the lighthouse, and he suggested that we go to the park that was just right across the street because it was open to the public and didn't close. We'll explain more about that in a second. But he mentioned that people typically have activity there. So we were like, okay, let's give it a go. So after we left the keeper's house, we're outside and we realize, oh, we could go to the park. And we're like, if you can still hear us, girls, come to the park. So like, we didn't know if, I don't know, anything heard that or not. But we then went across to the park. It's not officially part of the grounds, but it's literally right in that area.
It's also called the Lighthouse Park. So that gives you an idea.
Yeah. Amanda, when we got to the park, that was very dark as everywhere we went. What were your impressions?
So like walking over to the park, I was like, this really does have an eerie vibe. And I don't know if it's because it was just super dark, as I don't know, all of St. Augustine is for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also coupled with very creepy looking trees all over the park.
They were creepy trees. They were very like spindly. These had like thick-ass branches that grew in strange ways. They were squatty and just creepy trees. Just creepy trees through and through.
It was, yeah.
We have a picture of Mary on one of them.
Yes, yeah, in a video, I think. But there was like a little playground, had swings and everything, a little climby thing. And then there were benches and tables kind of scattered throughout. But it is a pretty large park, too, because while we were there, we could be on one side of the park and the others on a far area and barely hear each other, if hearing each other at all.
Yes.
And then also when we first got there, I'm like, it's so dark and there's not a lot of light. I don't know if we're alone here or if there are people here.
Dude agreed.
So I took out the thermal and there was like a man sitting on one of the tables kind of far off. And I was like, I don't know if this is a person or not. So I walked over and like, I was like, okay, it's a real person. They're there.
Amanda's like, it's cool. I'll walk near a strange Florida man in the park very late at night. No worries.
Yeah. And then off, like, I don't know if it's a parking lot or something after the park, but there were a few people over there, but it was light over there so we could see where they were and they weren't influencing us at all. We could barely hear them.
We were also doing the Estes method, and Ben and Amanda could not hear Enika talking. If they knew that she was talking, it was only because Lexi and I were screaming what she said to them across the park.
Yes. Yes.
That is the only time that they were aware. So also, Enika was facing the opposite direction, so she couldn't see what they were doing or where they were. And the headphones are on. And it is kind of like you're just doing that. It's hard to do anything else when you're listening.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to decipher and such. Because it was nighttime and we were at a park, I immediately felt like we should not be there because most parks have a sign that says don't go there after dusk. I did not see that sign. Otherwise, I probably would have been like,
Lindsay is what we call a rule follower, like my husband.
Oh, yeah. I'm a painful rule follower. Like, I'm uncomfortable with not following rules.
Meanwhile, I'm just off and I'm like, I'm lost.
Amanda's like, I do what I want and I apologize later.
Yeah.
But also, we were respectful to the space. We didn't leave any trash. If we saw trash, we picked it up.
Of course, of course.
You know, we weren't a blight to this space. So anyway, I felt like we weren't supposed to be there. But whatever, we were doing what I would say is a wholesome activity. And we, again, truly just unpacked our menagerie of tools. We spaced them out a good bit, too, which stressed me out because I was afraid somebody was going to, like, skitter up and take something. But no one did.
So when after we unpacked,
yeah,
we did kind of the same thing. We wanted to continue what we were doing and we were hopefully going to talk to the girls again.
Yeah.
So Enika started an Estes method. We put the tools kind of spread out. Like Lindsay said, I had the Poulter tune by the swings. We had the REM pod on like a random table or something. And then just all over the place.
Also to note, there was one, I think, old school wooden picnic table. That's where I was sitting. I stayed there the whole time because I was across from Eni when she was doing the Estes method. I simply wasn't going to like leave her alone when she had her eyes shut in a park. Lexi's there with me for a good bit. But so Enika, her back was right in front of the fence. And on the other side of that fence is a tennis court. Amanda and Ben are moving about. At one point, Lexi gets up. But when Amanda and Ben are at their furthest, they're on the other side of the tennis court. So when you hear Lexi and I kind of like yelling what Enika says, that's why. It's because there's no way that they could actually hear Enika.
Right.
So we're going to play the full audio of the hide and seek session again. Where there was long silences, we took those out. Where there's us like banging and clanging around on equipment or things, so it's like kind of an unpleasant sound, I've pulled that out as well. And then there's at one point a random man approached Amanda and was talking to her about ghost equipment, and our mics were on the same line, so we decided to take out Amanda's spiel on ghost equipment to the stranger, and we input the audio from one of the videos that we had, because we're taking videos, audio recordings, all the things, right? So if the audio sounds different at one point, that's why. Mm-hmm. We're going to play that now.
So when you put it, that so got how me. You set it, is it goes
you set
to
it
aim.
And forget it.
Okay.
So we're going to check and make sure that it's still legit.
I love that he remembered how to do that because I've used that 3 times. I still have no idea.
He's a good man.
It was just a boat, everyone.
A boat?
Oh, just a boat. Boat doing boat things.
Here. Yes, we are. Are you here to play hide and seek?
Yes.
Yes. Did you follow us from the keeper's house?
You did.
Oh.
Do you want to keep playing?
She said, shh.
Don't tell.
Don't tell who?
Him.
Him? He wants to play too.
Get him.
Get him? Like what? Like, is he going to hide?
Do you mean you can hide?
Okay. You want me to hide? All right. What number are you going to count to?
Him. Okay, man. Yep. They said him twice. Him.
Yeah.
You're only him.
You
are
the him.
Yep, okay. Oh, okay.
Very polite.
I know. Okay, he's going to hide. You want to count? He's going.
Are you covering your eyes?
Don't peek.
Lexi and I are like, no cheating.
Okay. Are you counting to 10?
1,001?
No. 1,000? I mean, yes. I don't know. I panicked. He doesn't have much time left.
Just go.
Did he take it? That's a REM pod.
He needs an EMF reader. I don't know where he put it.
Here, here's one.
8? Oh, shoot.
7?
You only have 2 seconds. That was real Blair Witch of me.
Oh, I think that she gave 2. Him a second. Okay, no, she's done. Okay, let's go. Let's go, girls.
Ready or not? Are you looking for him?
Where could he be?
See if we can find him. Looking for him.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if we can find him.
If you want, you can touch that red light over there, too. And the music box is by the swings. The music box is going off, guys.
How many of you are there? And are you still here?
Where is he?
Oh, you'll have to find him. You know his name?
Did you find him? Name.
Yes, that is his name. Do you know how old he is?
Look.
Did you find him?
All right, you can play with that again. I turned it on and off. Did you find Ben? Oh, I see him. I see him. He touched the green. You got to tag him.
Yep. They also said your name. No, I said, do you know his name? Then a few minutes later.
Well, they found him. Did they say Ben?
Hello.
Did you have fun?
Have fun?
Time to seek.
Time to seek.
Oh,
you have to seek now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's people over there. It's okay.
Okay, so you want me to hide again?
No, you're seeking.
No, you're seeking. You have to look for them.
Yeah, so give
is
them.
Is that correct? Thanks. You want him to look for you?
All right.
You got to take the EMF for
some little girls laughing.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to find you. I'm going to count to 10.
All right, you got to close your eyes, though.
Okay, I'll call him 1, 2.
Where is the person?
3, 4.
Are they
I'm
like stopping
this record again?
5, there he is.
6, 7.
Hi.
8, 9.
It sounds like they're talking to each other.
Oh, okay.
Ten.
Okay. They said hi.
Do you want to wait a second?
Ready or not, here I come.
He's coming.
All right.
There's the bathroom.
Okay, you're good.
All right, I'm going to come find you. Please don't be too far.
I'll look with him.
Okay.
I'll be with him so I can
Miss Amanda's going to help me.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Can Miss Amanda help play? I'm not looking. I have my eyes closed so that I can, won't give you away. Give you
I don't
away.
Know where my other EMF reader is.
Can Miss Amanda help? Miss Amanda's going to help me.
Looking.
Okay.
We're looking.
All right, we're looking.
All right.
All right, touch the green light. It's
a close. You have to play fair.
Ben?
He's coming.
He's coming looking for you.
They're laughing and whispering.
You gotta be quiet. They might find you.
But do you like Ben?
Don't come here.
Oh. Oh, you were close. You were close.
We're close? It is significantly colder over here. Just saying. You over here?
Do you like playing hide and seek?
Do you like playing hide and seek?
Seek.
Seek.
They said my name again.
Maybe they want you to seek.
She can't hear me. I don't know why I'm talking to her. Like,
you're warm.
You're warm.
You're close. You're close. You're warm, they said.
Who's warm, Miss Amanda or Mr. Ben?
You don't have to call him Mister.
Ben.
Oh. Does she know how to seek?
They're talking smack.
Burn.
What happened?
They said, does she know how to seek?
Oh, her?
Yeah. Yeah. Ghost burn.
You're laughing again.
I love this. I love this. They're trash.
Miss.
Miss who? There's Miss Lindsay next to me. My name is Lexi.
Miss.
Miss Amanda? She's trying to help Ben.
What are you talking about, Enika?
Eyes open.
Eyes look alive. Can you go over here, though? Can you go over here, though?
Maybe. Are you here with us?
He's coming.
Oh.
Is Ben getting close?
Found her.
What?
Found her.
Seek.
Seek. Seek.
Come on.
Was that Dallas?
Over here.
Over here. Come on, they said.
I think they're over there, by the way.
Where?
I think they're over there.
Where?
Over there.
Oh, like in the port, maybe?
No, I just think they're in this direction.
Okay.
Oh, he's taking off some shorts.
Does he need help?
Probably.
He does. That's why I was suggesting.
Am I going the right way?
Hiding.
You're still hiding. You are really good hiders.
Still hiding. Yeah, you guys are so good at this game. Are you under the table?
Oh no.
You know, it did get colder just now at my legs when
here?
She said that.
Are you under the table?
Oh,
did I find you? See, I'm good at seeking.
Oh, they're here. they're literally here.
Can you give me a high five?
Yes. Can you touch the green light for me?
I just felt
yes,
like a
the green light.
That's
out here,
hand.
Girl. That's out here.
Are you over here?
Funny.
You can touch my hand or the green light.
Oh.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think you're moving. I think you're goofing.
Are you behind? Oh wait, are you under the other table? This table.
Okay. Well, I can tell you with a certainty in my soul that they were here and then they left.
I was gonna
and
say,
that
I said, can you
some
give me
little
a high five and I felt.
Mm-hmm. Some little
tell
girls
him.
Are cheating.
Is it this table?
I'm not here to call you out, but I'm just saying that someone might be.
This one?
And now it's gone.
Did we find you?
Let's go. It's time.
Oh, do you have to go to bed?
You have to go to bed. That's okay.
Yeah,
oh, we'll try to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good night, girls.
Good night.
It was nice to play with you and hang out.
Good night.
We had fun playing with you. We hope
Bye.
To talk to you again
Bye.
Soon.
Thanks for coming over.
Bye.
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 Bye. Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, did you want us to leave?
Oh yeah, we can go home too.
Yeah.
Did you want us to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll pack it up.
To go home too.
We'll pack up our stuff.
Did y'all ever find them?
I never found my
no,
other.
Oh, no, they were absolutely cheating and moving around. Yeah, they came under here, gave Lexi a high five, then left. Then came, then we were like, "You're cheating!"
Like
and then
that.
They came back. Like they I think they like
sneaky.
Because they were goofing. They were talking trash.
Were they? Oh yeah,
yes,
I can't see.
Can she seek? Does he need help? I was like.
But that's when they were saying that, that's when I said, you kind of have an advantage, girls, and that's when you heard them go, fair.
That's funny, though.
Oh, God. That was amazing.
Look, I love that you got a ghost burn. One of my favorite things.
Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. And, like, so the guy was sitting at the table. That's the one that I had seen on the thermal cam. And when I was over there looking for the hiders, he was like, hey, that over there keeps playing a song. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is why. And he was like, I'm just fascinated. But he's like, I wanted to take a photo or a video, but I was afraid I'd ruin what you guys were doing. So I've been just over here watching. And I was like, oh, like, let me explain it to you, because like he seemed so interested.
Yeah.
And that's why he was there. He might have been on our tour. I don't know. But he loved seeing the equipment go off. And I love that he got to see it, because we barely even could hear the loud ass music box from where we were. We saw the light a couple times. So we're like, oh, look, it's going off. But yeah, I stopped to talk to him because he was being really nice. And he was like, I don't want to take a picture or take a video and ruin what you guys are doing. And I'm like, oh, it's totally fine. Like, it won't ruin anything. And then that's when they're like, can you even seek? And I'm like,
loved it. Loved it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he was being very respectful.
But also, there's no way Inika knew what I was doing. She couldn't see me.
Mm-mm.
She couldn't hear me. I think as far as you can go. I think my mic even started to cut out at one point because I was so far.
Yeah, it did.
So there's no way that she could have known. It was right when I had been talking for a couple minutes and they're like, are you even playing anymore? So it was like on the nose.
Earlier, we mentioned how you play hide and seek with a ghost with an EMF reader, right? So Amanda and Ben both have EMF readers. At one point, Ben only has one because Amanda, Blair Witch style, ran to him. If you want to see Amanda's Blair Witch video, go ahead to our social media, because the audio of it can't do it justice.
It's so dumb. I was recording.
It's like knees to chest. She's running, making sure Ben has an EMF reader.
But that was the first game. Yeah, because they wanted Ben to hide. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, he's not going to know if they found him. So I was already recording. And instead of stopping the phone from recording, I decided to run. And then as I'm running back, and I was like, that was very Blair Witch.
Well, then when we were watching it back, I forgot. And so then I got to just really like observe it fresh. But obviously, we had such a fun time playing.
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Lindsay believes that they cheated a little bit, which is fine. It was funny.
Oh, they did. Sweet kids, but cheaters.
They were very polite, too. They always said, like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
Except for when they were being sassy and saying, can you even seek?
I deserved that. At the end, they were just like, we gotta go.
It was very clear they were done. Yeah, they were like, it's time. And I want to think it was about, like, 12:30-ish.
Let's see when we made the unhinged videos of Mary.
This is Mary's first paranormal investigation. Amanda and I were just looking at our cameras to see like what time exactly. The last thing we did was like took a selfie in the park, and that was at 11:16. So I feel like it was probably around 11 because we were putting all the equipment away. But it was such a fun time. What a whimsical ghost experience. It had never occurred to me to play a game with a ghost. And now whenever I'm someplace where there's possibly children, I'm like, that's a kind of fun thing to do.
It was so fun. And then when we did our first episode about the lighthouse, and I brought it up because that woman had played hide and seek with them in the basement. And I was like, I never considered playing games. And that's going to be a theme of this, too. Ghosts playing games in one of our future episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. I love that interaction can happen and it can be so positive and fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, to piggyback on positive and fun, as we were leaving the park, you heard us say bye. You heard the whole clip, right? We were listening to this clip 10,000 times, obviously. And we think we hear something during the byes. So we're going to break it down after, but we're going to play it again. Take a listen. Listen while I'm talking.
We hope to talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Thanks
for coming over.
Bye. 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 We hope to talk to you again soon.
Bye. Thanks for coming over.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. And then the reason why we think it's someone else is because here's Inika's bye.
Bye.
Then this is Amanda, Lexi, and Lindsay saying bye. I don't know why I'm saying my name. Amanda, Lexi, and I saying bye. And we overlap, so we're not going to separate them out, but that is the order. So it's Amanda, then Lexi, then me, Lindsay.
Bye.
Bye.
And that sounds like none of them.
We hope to talk.
But a lot like that hi from the beginning. So we're going to play them both together now.
No.
Hi.
We hope to talk. We hope to talk.
This was just one of the three investigations that we did. We had another one on Saturday night. Then the third was one that we impromptu planned while we were there. I've actually never had so many paranormal experiences all at once, so much at a time. Have you?
I have similar experiences, but it does stand out. I loved it.
If you are planning to go to St. Augustine, we would so thoroughly suggest that you do a tour of the lighthouse. And if you can, go to that park afterwards. Because what was nice is that it was more secluded. There wasn't other people around, unless they were like interested in what we were doing. And even then, they were very polite. So I feel like we needed to introduce ourselves there in order for them to come play at the park. It's also possible that we were interacting with someone else at the park. Because, like, how excited would, like, little kid spirits at the park be? Also, like, I'm sorry, I'm an adult ghost and you want to play hide and seek? You bet your fucking ass I do. It also, it could have been adult ghost being like, can you even seek, nerd? I love the idea of that, too.
I suck at hide and seek. I'm sorry. I get distracted.
Yeah. So, again, we mentioned this earlier, but we've got so much content to sift through. This is one of the reasons why these are taking a little bit longer to come out. You know, we're just banging and clanging our way through a million hours of video footage, audio, and, you know, all the phone videos from everyone. We did want to just take a quick moment to say a special thank you to all of our patrons for making True Creeps generally possible, because it's expensive to do a podcast. But so not only do you make the regular episodes possible, but it also makes it possible for us to go do investigations like this and to have fun episodes. We love doing it. We love sharing it with you. It's such a fun time and we are so, so grateful. And it's not something that we originally planned when we started True Creeps, but it's one of our favorite parts now.
It is. Yeah.
I'm getting emotional. It just means so fucking much.
It does.
It's just so fucking cool. And we love sharing with you guys. So
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And exciting notes, aside from my emotions, we have an abundance of us just being goofs on our audio and in our videos. So we thought it was funny. We think you'll enjoy it. Maybe you won't. I don't know. I think you will. We're banging and clanging. We're being goofs. It's behind the credits. So if you're like, hey, it shows that there's like 15 minutes left and they're wrapping it up now, what's going on? It's because we've got some silliness after our credits.
Yeah. So with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us. Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
How do I get outside? Where am I? Okay.
Top of the lighthouse, do you?
Just rubbing in that I couldn't, that I, what I could never do. It's fine. You guys were, in fact, banging and clanging up that lighthouse, though. Like, not to kill it, but, like, you were, like, banging and clanging. That's what was happening.
Ooh, yeah, that would be great.
I loved it.
Did we take a picture of Mary literally fucking anywhere?
No, we sure didn't.
Well, I got you. I got you, girl. It's your girl, Mary.
Please record that, and that's the thing that we'll just put out.
Absolutely. Yeah, one moment, please.
Hey, everyone, it's your girl, Mary. Bloody Mary.
Okay. Hold on one moment.
Sorry.
No, perfect.
All right, I've got my...
She's serious, and I'm like, uh-oh. It's your girl, Mary, coming in hot.
So sorry. When are y'all ready for me to hit start?
We're good now. I'm an adult now. Because I had to say, oh, she can't hear me. Why am I explaining?
You know what? We could set up the trail cam over here too.
That's a good idea.
We're
gonna catch a gator with our trail cam. We're hunters.
I feel
now.
Like something
gator and ghosts.
Gator
and ghosts. Gator and ghosts.
Your wife is unhinged. It's recording this too, by the way.
They said
we're
gonna set up the trail cam, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna catch a gator," and we're like, "Gators and ghosts banging and clanging."
Could that be the episode?
Yeah, absolutely. Gators and ghosts banging and clanging.
That's also me with the microphone this, right? All the fucking time.
I don't. But for really, look at his thighs from afar. Really, just take them in. He knows. I'm progressively getting to buy shorter and shorter shirts.
I packed everything. And every battery in North America.
Boy.
We're banging and clanging.
We're banging and clanging, obviously.
Everybody's going to be like, what the hell is wrong with all of you?
What?
Just banging and clanging.
Banging and clanging.
She was banging and clanging all the way.
Oh my god.
Drinking game to how many times we said banging and clanging and not do so well. Drink water. That's how you're hydrated. Ha ha. A trick.
Thank you.
She's done banging and clanging.
Banging and clanging, Zargas. That's me banging and clanging, Zargas.
Huh.
You know me. Eating glowsticks, banging and clanging.
Is that going up too over there?
That was me. That was me. Again, banging and clanging. Otherwise, we're banging and clanging up the stairs.
No, but I would have been okay with that.
Just holding, you know.
Where's that parlor?
Banging and clanging. Stealing.
Wait, Lindsay, where's the parlor?
Banging and clanging. I mean, I kind of like it.
Wait, is that where the parlor is? That way? The parlor?
That's bathroom.
Oh, that's not the parlor. There's cat balls over there, too. I think they're near your feet, actually, Ben.
Right by my feet. Do you want to play with one of these balls? You want to smack it?
Don't ask children to smack your balls.
The one
okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Wait, did you go there?
Mary,
it's your girl. It's
okay.
Your girl. Blinding Edie. She's like, what the fuck is happening? She's gonna stop. Oh, but you know what, though, Amanda?
Yes, what?
It's your girl. Can you take a picture of her?
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Your girl.
Mary!
It has to be like that. Like,
and I've been recording this whole
perfect.
Thing.
Perfect.
I love that for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Banging and clanging.
All right. This is the name of your St. Augustine book.
Yes.
We'll all collectively name our items. This is our project, our Florida project. It's
Gators and Ghosts banging and clanging.
Mary's had a rough night.
No, she's laying on her belly! We figured it out!
Oh. What?
You're dancing. What's going on?
Mary. Right there.
Oh my gosh. Perfect. Beautiful.
Where is she?
I love that Mary is going to be a celebrity one day.
She is. She's a celebrity in my heart.